Welcome to the December 4th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Earl Irwin. We'll begin our month-long exploration of the path of wonder by considering the relationship between being curious and our ability to appreciate the wonders of the world. We'll also welcome 7 new members to the congregation.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. On the native lands of the Tutelo and Monacan Nations, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Earl Irwin, and I'm leading worship with our minister, Rev. Pam Phillips. We are currently in a green zone for Montgomery County, so masking is optional in the building. As a reminder, as COVID is ongoing, we ask that we mask while singing. Please take a moment to put your phones into worship mode, also known as airplane mode, to preserve the bandwidth for our computers that are being used to host those attending via Zoom. If you are with us for the first time, we're glad you found us. We look forward to sharing all the ways you can make a place for yourself and belong to our community. If you'd like us to keep in touch with you, please find a link to the virtual visitor's card in the chat or find a paper card in the back of the sanctuary from one of the greeters. If you have a joy or sorrow you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during the offering. There are also opportunities to meet virtually or here at UUC throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, location, and Zoom links and contact information. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities for our community and beyond possible.
I'd like to lift up a few announcements. The social justice team would like to hear from you what issues you'd most like to address. So if you haven't yet, please fill out their survey. The link will be in the announcements. And I want to give a special thanks to everyone who created that beautiful float that was in the holiday parade. We have some of our riders here, and Lucas Mackey, the man right there, deserves special thanks. He's already got plans for next year's float. It was so much fun. And if you want to hear Blue Boat Home over and over again, ride in the float. I want to let you know that we will not be having a grounds tour today because it's a little cold, but hopefully you'll get a chance to go up on the grounds sometime this month. It's beautiful. Now I'd like to invite Cassie Costup to tell us what the children are doing in religious education.
Good morning. I'm Cassie Cost, and I have children in RE. The Buddy Project continues today, so please remember to drop off something for your buddy before service and to check the mailbox after service. Today, our preschool lesson is It's Good to Be Me, which explores the value of having the courage to be ourselves. The K-1 class will read Elijah's Angel, in which a woodcarving barber gives a young Jewish boy an angel. The second and third grade will watch the Pixar short, Partysaurus Rex, where Rex from Toy Story is pulled between popularity and doing what's right. In the 4-5 class, our witches and wizards practice several charms and discuss why some people want to ban Harry Potter books. Dumbledore's army gets a real-world experience of what it's like to be part of one in four people in Montgomery County who lives below the poverty level as they finish their fight against the poverty Horcrux. The middle school will be watching The Simpsons episode Lisa the Vegetarian, where a trip to a local petting zoo convinces Lisa to give up meat, despite excessive pressure to convince her not to do so. The YRUU meets from 6 to 8 p.m. and will be getting ready for their upcoming trip to the mountain. Thank you.
Thanks, Cassie. And now it's time to greet one another. Those of you who are joining us from home, if you could turn your videos on, we'll turn it up here on the, you are up there, so go ahead and wave. And let us know where you are coming from today by writing in the chat. You have quite a few folks there. And no, oh, Darla says, good morning from Blacksburg. The back corner of the UUC in the monitor booth. Brenda from Italy, Russell from Radford, Doug from Airport Road, Brianna from Fairlawn, Jill and Rich from Blacksburg, Dave from Pembroke, Molly from Uptown Baby, Bill from Floyd, Casey in Highland Park. Also, Barbara from Radford, Russell says hello, Laura from McCoy, Meredith and Sophia are here from Newport News. Hey, Sophia. And Jay's from Fancy Gap. All right, now, everyone here, we want you to wave to the folks at home. So as I pan, and we'll put it up on the screen so everybody can see what it looks like. Here we go. There we go. There's Jared. There's Alice, our wonderful soloist. Patrick without his cast, yay. We have a wonderful crew of folks here this morning. All right, now everybody in the sanctuary, turn and wave to the people around you. Especially people you might not know. It is good to be together. And now that we have greeted one another, let us go ahead and make some sacred space.
I'd like to invite Evelyn Davis to come up to light our chalice. Please join in reading the words on your screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words were written by Daniel Chesney Cantor. To love life is to notice the wonders that abound. And to notice the wonders that abound is to be grounded here and now. And to be grounded here and now is to the beginning of finding love for this life today. Let us ground ourselves in this instant in the worship of all things good and right.
I have a big box. It's called a wonder box. It's meant to make us wonder. And I wonder if any of the young people would like to join me up front to talk about the wonder box. So this month, we're talking about wondering. What does it mean to wonder? Does anyone know? I wonder if anyone here knows what it means to wonder. To question what it is. To be curious. Is anyone curious what's in this box? Yes.
I wonder what's inside.
Does anybody have a guess? What do you think might be in here? It could be anything.
It could be a frog. Probably not. All right, let me give you a hint. It's something that we use this time of year. Yes. A jacket. Yep, because it's cold outside. A scarf because it's cold outside. These are very good guesses. And it's not something that we necessarily use outside. Sometimes we do, but we use it inside too. Does that give you another hint? I'll give you another hint. What's back there?
A tree.
A tree. With lights. A Christmas tree. And so this is something that we use when Christmas is coming. Any thoughts?
An ornament.
An ornament. Oh, it's not an ornament, but that reminds me. I wonder if anyone wants to help decorate the tree after the service today. If you would, please join us. Any other guesses?
Christmas lights.
Christmas lights. Oh, they would be all a tangle if they were in here. That's a good guess, though. No, this is something, maybe you don't know what this is. Oh my, there are a whole bunch of things. What's that? And? Hanukkah. Ooh, that's an even better guess. You know, it could have been Hanukkah candles, but I only have four of them. And what's this?
A wreath.
A wreath. She asked, can you put it on your head? Actually, if we live in Sweden, yeah, when you live in Sweden, on St. Lucia Day, you put it up here, and it's got candles in it. I know this because I had Swedish neighbors. They also give you this really wonderful tasting thing called glögg. Some people know what that is. This is a special kind of wreath. Where do you usually find wreaths? On your door, right. And I read about it, and it turns out that one of the reasons why we have these evergreen wreaths at Christmas time is that people used to get trees from the forest and they weren't perfect, and so they would trim them, and then they would use the trimmings to make a wreath. The wreath also is a circle, which means it goes on and on and on forever, which means it's eternal, and it's a symbol of eternal life. But right now, we are in a time of year called Advent. Has anyone heard of Advent?
Like an Advent calendar?
Like an Advent calendar. And if you, can you pick that up so people can see that? We have an Advent, a reverse, is that okay? Well, actually, it's kind of heavy. I'll have Earl do it. We have a reverse Advent calendar where people are invited to put food into a basket every day of Advent, and at the end of the month, take it to the Interfaith Food Pantry. So we have an Advent, a reverse Advent calendar. But this is a wreath that we light every Sunday before Christmas, one candle, and that represents something about Christmas and the promise that Christmas brings. So, I light a candle off of the chalice and bring it over here. So we missed the first day of Advent. It was last week, but most of you weren't here. So we're gonna start it this week. The first candle we're gonna light is a candle of hope. So say with me, we light this candle for hope.
We light this candle for hope.
That was for last week. And this week, we're gonna light another candle, and this one is a candle for love. So say with me, we light this candle for love. Hope and love are two things that Christmas brings to us. So as you go to your classes, or after you go to your classes, the adults are gonna be wondering about what Advent might mean for us. And you all get to do all the fun stuff that Cassie told us about. And next week, we'll light this candle, and this candle, and this candle. I wonder, is there something different about that candle?
It's pink.
It's pink. You have to come next week to find out why it's pink. All right, let's sing the children off to their classes. Thank you so much for helping me wonder.
Thank you.
sometimes you just don't know if things are going to go all right. Lighting candles on your lap is probably not the best idea. I'm sorry if I taught your children something wrong. Oh, this morning is also a special morning because it is a time when we are welcoming new members to this community. Becoming a member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation requires a simple act. Oh, Jamie, would you run into my office and get the membership book? It's on my, it's on the bookshelf, and it's kind of, it's suede. You'll find it. I'm juggling too many balls. Anyway, it's a simple act. You sign your name in a book. But it has profound implications. It means you have come to know UUC as your spiritual home. You commit to sustaining and supporting this congregation for those who have not yet found it. And you have entered into a religious movement with a centuries-long history of enriching our world with the values of freedom, reason, and tolerance. And I would add radical acceptance. As Unitarian Universalists, we don't commit to a set of beliefs or a creed. Instead, we covenant with one another. We make promises of how we will be together in this religious community. And today, we will all affirm our covenant. I want to invite Lisa Ivanilo, a member of our Connections Committee, to introduce our newest members. And as the members come forward, the new members come forward, come up and sign the book, and then stand in the front.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Today we have seven new members. First is Chris Long. He's a Blacksburg townie who graduated from Virginia Tech with a degree in mathematics. Professionally, Chris has recently started working at a local bank, hoping to establish himself further in the community and get to know Blacksburg in his own terms. While he's only been attending UUC for just over a year, he has made a place for himself both as an RE teacher and as an active member of the Unitarian Universalist Young Adults, or UYAS, while also lending a hand to various projects. He's eager to help with larger activities going forward, such as becoming a member of the Stewardship Committee and helping to organize the upcoming UUC auction. Next is, he goes by Danny Dan Daniel Vogler, has been a farmer, teacher, professor, and the co-founder, CEO of a software company. He did his university studies at the University of Illinois and served on the faculties of the University of Michigan and Virginia Tech. He likes to read both fiction and nonfiction, plays duplicate bridge, and loves having fun. He and his wife, Lady Jean, I asked him if she was royalty, but he didn't respond, have been married for 58 years and begat two daughters. They admire, respect, and adore their two grandchildren. Gail Duchess is a native of West Virginia and found her way to Virginia by way of North Carolina. She's the stepmother of three daughters and two grandchildren, ages 5 and 2. Gail has a lifelong career in intellectual and developmental disability services and enjoys woodworking, playing and writing music, gardening, and spending time with her family. Gail has searched for a place of belonging to explore, learn, contribute, and empower others in the journey of spirituality, and has found a home at UUC. Susie Hyatt is a neighbor of the Galax area and has three daughters and four grandchildren. She has a lifelong career and commitment in disability services, with a passion for assuring that her daughter and the children of others has the resources needed to be safe and uplifted in each person's ability. After many years of seeking a home to cultivate her spiritual side, she feels that this community is a safe place to belong, where she is challenged to seek and share her spiritual path, and challenged to share and contribute her yet unsure talents for the betterment of her immediate and extended community. Joe and Robin Cooley recently located to Blacksburg after a lifetime of residence in upstate New York. They attended the UU congregation in Rochester for many years. Joe is an architect and works at Virginia Tech in the Office of Equity and Accessibility. Robin also works at Tech as an Academic Affairs Coordinator in the School of Architecture, Arts, and Design. They have a son that is currently living in Philadelphia and a daughter still in Rochester. They just recently moved into a house in the Airport Acres neighborhood and are looking forward to becoming involved in the UU community activities. And then we have one new member joining us on Zoom. Brianna Carper is a daughter, sister to three, and proud aunt to two nieces. She loves the outdoors, playing and snuggling with her parents' puppy, Tuesley, exploring, home decorating, learning, especially about the spiritual and metaphysical, singing, dancing, and experiencing live music. Brianna is passionate about nature, sustainable living, and all roads to self and world healing. After living and traveling both in the US and abroad, she is happily rooted in Southwest Virginia, where her family originates.
Your decision to join your own spiritual journeys to our collective journey honors and affirms this congregation, and for that we are grateful. I invite Nancy Bodenhorn, president of the UUC board, to lead us in a brief ritual of welcome and celebration. And Brianna, if you could just give us a thumbs up rather than speaking these words. If y'all could just turn this way, and here's Nancy.
Hello. We welcome you, our newest members, to join us in our mission to inspire spiritual and ethical growth, to create compassionate community, and to transform our community and the world through courageous love. Do you freely choose to become a member of this congregation with knowledge of the responsibilities and privileges of membership and with willingness to learn, grow, and contribute your care to this congregation and to the larger movement of Unitarian Universalism?
I do.
So you can look at them now. You guys can turn around there. Oh, you moved it. Okay.
Closer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Sorry. To the members of the congregation, do you pledge yourselves anew to this congregation and to all its members in freedom, love, and service?
We do.
There isn't? Oh, I guess that's all. So, that there was another line. Earl will give a rose signifying our gratitude that you are joining us. Be careful, there are thorns. And Nancy has UU stickers to put on your car or wherever you want to put them. If you don't have a car, you want to put them on. And we have more for everyone else. And now I invite everyone to read together our covenant. It's on the screen. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude
honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate, we will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will make amends and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. Let's celebrate our newest members with a round of applause.
One action we take every week to live into our mission is collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is NRV Cares, a private, nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting children and strengthening families. They provide services such as CASA, court-appointed special advocates, patient education, and community education on child abuse prevention. While we pass the basket for those in the sanctuary, those attending online are invited to use the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the service as well. Thank you all for your generosity. If you have a joy or sorrows card, please hold it up now so the greeters can collect it. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing a piece by Brahms, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now invite us into a mood of meditation. I, for one, could use this time. So take a breath. Settle into your seats. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze or close your eyes. And breathe. As we enter into this month of anticipation and wonder, let us settle this morning into a time of rest, reflection, and restoration. Let's use this time to lay down whatever worries or anxieties we brought with us today, at least for these few moments. Lay them down, knowing that you can pick them up later if you must. Lay them down. For just this moment, breathe. And know that you are safe. That you can know peace.
and know that whatever we carry with us, we need not carry it alone. Just breathe. And sense the breath of those around you. You are not alone. May we carry this peace, this rest, with us in the days and weeks ahead. Amen. And blessed be.
We welcome this season of wonder, this time of year when many of us are awed by the magic or the mystery, the music or the light. Have you ever stopped to wonder why this season, more than any other, receives this designation, season of wonder? Perhaps it holds no more wonder for some than does, say, the middle of August. But for many, this is a season to be anticipated all year. Likely, we all have associations from previous life experiences of this same time of year. If we've been fortunate, we now are surrounded by triggers to pleasant memories of the magic and mystery of that earlier time. Yuletide nostalgia. Perhaps our sense of wonder has its seeds in a faith tradition that celebrates the wonder of the return of the light. Perhaps we have children in our lives who remind us continually of the magic of the season with their giddiness, their dreams, and expectations and hopes. Or perhaps we are cynics, scarred by holidays gone awry, or skeptical of the apparent lack of science behind the alleged miracles and fantastical stories of wonder. Approaching the season of wonder, I find myself somewhat closely aligned with this last category, and yet I too am touched by wonder. Even if nowhere else the wonder is apparent, I invite you to consider this. We enter this season having survived autumn. For all its color and glory, autumn subtly forebodes death and decline into stark barrenness. We set our clocks back. The days get shorter. We drive home from work in the pitch dark. It's freezing cold. This November in particular has seemed so bitterly cold. I know, we ain't seen nothing yet. And then, although it's dark and barren and cold, and the calendar reveals the approach of winter, suddenly, the shortest day of the year, the solstice, the day of least light is upon us, and then over with. One dark day, and then each day following grows one blessed minute longer. Each subsequent day, the gift of an additional moment of daylight. The worst of winter weather may lay ahead, the potential freezing cold, snow, ice of January, February, perhaps even March. But to cope with those elements, we are granted growing light, increasing light to carry us through to the promise of spring. Plus, the sunsets of this time of year are like no other. The sky spectacularly ablaze in color, on fire with wondrous reds and golds. The wonder of light and all its promises. We welcome this season of wonder.
We welcome the season of wonder. And today, more specifically, we're welcoming, a week late, the season of Advent. I wasn't going to talk about Advent very much, but today when the choir sang Yesu and Baby Baby, I just thought we have to address that this is the time of Advent. And as Earl noted, some of us may have very different memories of Advent, or none at all. I did a very unscientific survey last night at the holiday sing-along, and it helped me realize that perhaps far fewer of us have much experience, either positive or negative, about Advent. So, just in case you don't, Advent is from the Latin word meaning coming. It refers both to the coming of the birth of Jesus at Christmas, as well as the second coming at the end of the age. It is a time of preparation, of expectant hope, of waiting for the Messiah to come. And as Unitarian Universalists who think of Jesus as a great prophet and teacher, and not necessarily as the Messiah, it's not surprising that many of us don't think much about Advent. What do we have to prepare for? What hope might we expect? But I wonder whether Advent might still hold lessons or meaning for us as Unitarian Universalists. And I wonder if Advent might teach us something about wonder, which is our theme for the month of December. The earliest observance of Advent in the 4th century had very little to do with Christmas, and more to do with the preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January feast of the Epiphany. During the season of preparation, Christians would spend 40 days in penance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for this celebration. Perhaps there's something to be said for this way of observing Advent, one which emphasizes austerity in the face of our culture's opulence. Think of all the excesses during this season, of shopping and baking and cooking and entertaining and partying. We went to our first holiday party on Wednesday. It wasn't even December yet. It might be good, and it might feel good to be intentional about taking time each day for even a few moments of quiet reflection on how we've lived our lives in the past year, on ways we've fallen short, and ways we might make amends. We can prepare for the coming of the new year, a time when we can hit reset and live more intentionally. I wonder, whether we call this time Advent or not, if we could use this time as one of preparation for the new year, for becoming more of who we most want to be in the world. Jamie and I are going to a retreat at Pendle Hill, a Quaker retreat center, to ring in the new year, and I'm hoping that I can use that time to do that kind of reflection. More modern observances of Advent are definitely focused on the coming of Christ, both the second coming, when he will return, and the first, with his miraculous birth in the nativity story. Again, for Christians, this is a time of preparation, And the Advent wreath with its four candles helps prepare us for celebrating the birth of Jesus and especially the promise that birth brought to the world. The four candles represent that promise, and don't tell the children, but they are for hope, love, joy, and peace. The initial Advent wreath was introduced by a German Lutheran minister named Johann Heinrich Wickern in 1839. Using the cart of a wheel and 20 small red candles and four large white candles to count down the days until Christmas for the children in the mission where he worked. Can you imagine that, with children in a mission and every day lighting a new candle? It's kind of crowd control with kids in the holiday season. Over time, the number of candles were reduced and the wreath was made of evergreens, a symbol of everlasting light in the dark of winter. It was used primarily in Germany until the 1930s, and when German immigrants brought the practice to the United States, where they were primarily used by families. It wasn't so much in churches. And I learned that a woman named Therese Mueller was one of those immigrants, and she was a lay leader in the liturgical movement, which encouraged Catholic women to introduce more symbols and signs of the liturgical seasons in their homes to develop piety and religious customs in an increasingly commercialized world. This was in the 1940s and 50s. I love that it was a Catholic woman who brought this tradition into families, not into churches. And then the practice was adopted by churches. And that's also when the red and white candles were replaced by purple and rose for the religious meaning. How many of you have heard of Sophia Lyon-Faas? Just a few of you. She was a great religious educator of Unitarians. And I like to think that she and Therese Mueller have something in common. But anyway, that brings us back to these candles and what they represent. Hope, love, joy, and peace. As we light candles during this time of Advent, we're reminded of some of our religious roots. Some of us lit those candles in our homes and our churches. Did any of you? Some of you have that sense memory of someone who's from Germany. Of course you did. But even if we didn't, as Unitarian Universalists, doesn't it make sense for us to light candles for hope, love, joy, and peace? We can translate. Last night at our sing-along, Jim Kern, thank you very much, was our guitarist and accompanist and led us in song. And we sang traditional Christmas songs, but we also sang non-traditional Christmas songs. All You Need Is Love. That's Christmassy. What was the song by the Bellamy Brothers?
Let Your Love Flow.
Let Your Love Flow. That's a Christmas message, isn't it? As we light these candles, let us consider, what is the source of our hope? How can we create more hope, love, joy, and peace in ourselves, in our lives, and in the world? Now, I have a vague memory of lighting candles on a wreath at the Episcopal Church I attended as a small child. I don't think we had one at home. I'll have to ask my sister, Brenda. My greatest memory of Advent was the cardboard calendar we got each December with the numbered doors on a beautiful and sparkly holiday scene. Remember those? Now you can get an Advent calendar that has chocolate in each door. Or I heard that there's an Advent beer calendar. One of my colleagues is posting on Facebook. She has a very special Advent calendar. Each door you open, there's a little pot of jam or preserves. Ours was not that fancy. It was cardboard, but it did have sprinkles on it. It was very sparkly. And each day we would find the right number and open the door to find a little picture of something related to Christmas. A star, a bell, a tree, maybe an angel. My siblings and I took turns pulling back the little cardboard flaps. With delight. Such a simple pleasure. And a way not only to build anticipation for the big day on the 25th, but also a way to help us bide our time until the big day. And under the last flap was the little baby Jesus in the manger. Each new door meant we were getting closer to a visit from Santa Claus, but having the Advent calendar meant that we had something to look forward to every day, not just Christmas morning. And it is this lesson of Advent that resonates most deeply with me today, especially after I received this First Light meditation on Monday. The All Souls Church in New York City sends out a First Light meditation. If you are not on their mailing list, you should do it, because each day there is a quotation, a poem or a part of a piece of prose that gives you something to meditate on the day. It gives you a lens through which to look. And as luck would have it, this one by the Irish poet, author, priest, and philosopher John O'Donohue was Monday's. This is what he wrote. Each new day is a path of wonder, a different invitation. Often it seems that we have to undertake the longest journey to arrive at what has been nearest all along. Mornings rarely find us so astounded at the new day that we are unable to decide between adventures. We take on days with the same conditioned reflex with which we wash and put on our clothes each day. If we could be mindful of how short our time is, we might learn how precious each day is. There are people who will never forget today. Each new day is a path of wonder. And there are people who will never forget today. O'Donohue captures with his words what that little cardboard flaps on our Advent calendars embodied for us as children. Each new day is a path of wonder. Yes, through the rest of the year, each day is much like the last one, ordinary, unremarkable. He writes, we take on days with the same conditioned reflex with which we wash and put on our clothes each day. This is probably not, but when we are reminded of how short our time is, we might learn how precious each day is. And I feel certain that this is probably not what the early church fathers wanted us to take from their exhortations to observe Advent. But the memory of childhood Advent calendars reminds me to live with intention and appreciation for how precious each day is, especially with the poignancy. That last line, there are people who will never forget today. Earl spoke of the wonder of light in her reflection, citing the sunsets with sky ablaze with color, on fire with wondrous reds and golds. But O'Donohue speaks of the dawn. He writes, the liturgy of dawn signals the wonder of the arriving day. magic of darkness, breaking through into color and light is such a promise of invitation and possibility. No wonder we always associate the hope and urgency of new beginning with the dawn. Each day is the field of brightness where the invitation of our life unfolds. A new day is an intricate and subtle matrix. Written into its mystery are the happenings sent to awaken and challenge us. In this season of wonder, this season of Advent, let us pay attention to the signals of sunsets and sunrises. Let us prepare for new beginnings by considering the past, but also accepting the promise of invitation and possibility. Let us awaken to those possibilities and accept those challenges. In the week ahead, I hope you find moments of wonder in the beautiful sunsets, in the beautiful sunrises, and the darkness in between. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of this community. Let us take that out into the world. It needs warmth too.